morning, Glide. Come on and make some noise this morning, because we are here in the house one more time, and we are glad about it. We are glad that we are in the house celebrating, because there's a lot going on in the world, and sometimes you just got to take a break out to recharge the battery so that we can re-engage in the work of transformation. Amen? Come on and put your hands together if you want to be inspired so that we can go out and change the world today. I'm Reverend Jay Williams, lead pastor, and I am excited because we have a word from the Holy One coming today in the form through Rabbi Michael Lezak. Rabbi Michael for Glide Center for Social Justice. We also got some other Glide staffers in the house. We got some folks from the HR department. Go ahead and raise your hand. Dorian and Barbara and then Denya and Ariana. Yes, and we have our executive director for the Glide Foundation, Rita Shimon, right here. This is Reverend Angela Brown in the house. You should know that we are a connection, we are a community, and Reverend Theon Johnson III is preaching at one of our sister churches this morning, Jones Memorial, because their pastor had surgery and needed some coverage, so we support one another in times of need. Amen?
Amen.
Jan and Cecil, the founders of this movement, are with us in spirit. Go ahead and put your hands together for them. The Change Band, the Glide Ensemble. We've got volunteers on lights, on video. We say welcome to the folks watching in Freedom Hall and in live stream. We invite you to go ahead and grab the hand of your neighbor as we turn to the Holy One in prayer. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, we have already come. And we have come into this house, O God, to celebrate and to be inspired and to live in hope and love and joy and peace, because there are wars and rumors of wars all around us. There is violence and pain and suffering and loss, but we said we're going to come into this place and join hands with one another, to lift our voices in song and to raise our song and praise and celebration and adoration, so that we who have come into this place, O God, would leave no longer the same. So we expect the move of your spirit that will happen in this place. Inspire us, transform us, excite us, and ignite us, so that we might be agents of change, of liberation, of peace, of love, and of joy in the world. So it's in the name of the Holy One that we pray, and we say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Right on. Shalom. Salam. And namaste. Come on and put your hands together this morning.
Good morning, Glide.
Good morning.
We're going to do what the spirits say do. The words up on the wall. Please come and sing with us. Imogene Foster's going to lead it.
I'm going to do what the spirits say do. I'm going to do what the spirits say do. Now with the spirits say do. I'm going to do what the spirits say do. I'm gonna shout if the spirits say shout. I'm gonna shout if the spirits say shout. Now if the spirits say shout, I'm gonna shout if the spirits say come. I'm gonna clap when the spirits say clap. I'm gonna clap if the spirits say clap. Now if the spirits say come, Lord, I clap. I'm gonna clap if the spirits say clap. I'm gonna cry if the spirits say cry. Now with the spirits.
the Spirit is saying for us to do right now. We want you to hug, to greet at least 10 people. Count it out if you have to.
Good morning. I know that felt good, all those hugs on a cold Sunday morning.
Indeed, we all are seekers. We all are seekers. And how they said to the birth of your son, there's a saying that says, the Lord works in mysterious ways. Mysterious ways, and for that we are grateful. And before the Glide Ensemble and the Change Band minister for us this morning, we know that the ensemble has recorded and their message has gone all over the world. But guess what, y'all? Guess what, y'all? You're supposed to say what? It's okay. Guess what, y'all? The Glide Ensemble and the Change Band will open for the Red Hot Chili Peppers this Thursday. This Thursday. So we are excited about it. You know, the terrible North Bay fires, and the fires are raging now in the Southern California. And on this Thursday, Band Together 2 will convene, and we're excited to be a part of it. The tickets, I'm told, sold out within minutes of going on sale. So stay tuned to our social media channels to get words. It'll be live streamed, and we definitely want you to tune in and be able to see the Glide Ensemble and the Change Band. Amen? All right.
Joy to the world.
Good morning, everybody.
seems to hear words of good cheer from everywhere, filling the air. Oh, praise the sound of the other tones, gay in the ring, while people sing songs of good cheer. Christmas is here.
Amen. Whatever you're going through, things are gonna get better. Oh yeah. People come.
People come.
People go. Jay Phoenix.
The reading for this morning is a poem entitled Love Is by Polly C. Love is the fabric of life, holding us together, for without it, what do we really have at all? We find love in our children in their soft-hearted innocence. We find love in our family, our friends, old and new. For both love and friendship can transcend anything, oceans, countries, even time itself. Love is a melody. It is not bitter, jealous, or angry. Love is the chords of a softly strummed guitar, quietly playing around us as we go about our days. Love is immeasurable, unpredictable. It hides in the wings of life, surprising us when we least expect it. Love is a wave on a stormy sea, the calm of a garden, the peace of a quiet night. Love lives inside our hearts, orchestrating meaning, making our days worthwhile. A beautiful band without boundaries, like an eagle soaring through the bluest skies. Love is always there, though it can be nurtured with smiles, with touch, and with understanding. Love is freedom, respect, allowing others to be who they really are, while at the same time staying true to oneself. Love is acceptance, sacrifice, always being there when it really matters, without expectation and without judgment. Lending an ear when words seem far away. Love is patient, kind, and tolerant, as diverse as the land itself, crossing all terrains, mountains, fields, and circumstance. The darkest pockets and the brightest hills, like a sunbeam. Love encapsulates shadows. It is laughter and hope, smiles and joy, tiny moments that are as big as the world itself. Love is beautiful, like the bleeding sky at dusk, incandescent, iridescent. Love is life.
Love. One of the things I love about GLIDE is that diversity matters, and that we are a diverse community. Hal spoke to it, and that we are a church of Christians and Jews, of Muslims and Buddhists, of believers and non-believers, of religious folks and non-religious folks, agnostics and atheists. And one of the things I love about GLIDE is that today our message comes from our social justice rabbi. Michael Lezak, I encourage you to get to know him. We've been journeying together for the last 5 months in this place as we lean into love, because love with its work clothes on is service, right? And service leads us towards justice. And there's a way in which they're all connected. And this man has a wonderful heart. And I'm just encouraged and inspired by what I know will be a wonderful, wonderful message. Amen? Amen? So I want you to do one more thing. Yeah, you can go ahead and clap. Go ahead and clap. Go ahead and clap. Go ahead and extend your hand toward him and say, "Preach, Rabbi, preach." Come on and put it together for Rabbi Michael and the GLIDE Ensemble.
Taught the sun where to stand in the morning. who told the ocean you can only come this far? And who told the moon where to hide till evening? And whose words alone can catch a falling star? Well, I know my Redeemer.
Jen Allen Zito. We'll be right back.
Am I the luckiest rabbi on the planet? Like, seriously? Like, seriously? Seriously. Good morning, Glide. So amazing to be with you all this morning. I want to extend a special welcome to the dozens of members of the Kitchen, that mighty Jewish community over in the Mission, who are here with us this morning. You guys have been here a lot this week, taking classes, baking challah bread down in the Glide Kitchen, serving meals, taking a tour of the Tenderloin with the mayor of the Tenderloin, Del Seymour. I bet Glide is starting to feel like home, I hope. So this right here is called a Chanukiah. I won't even make you say the chet of Hebrew, but a menorah, a candelabra for the holiday of Hanukkah, which starts Tuesday night. I got an idea for next year. I'm thinking that we should make like a million latkes, like a million potato pancakes down in the Glide Kitchen. We'll serve them with sour cream and applesauce. I promise you, your lives will forever be changed. Forever. This raised candle right here is called the shamash. Can you guys say shamash? It has a distinctive role. Its role is to light all of the other lights. Every night, after we bless all the candles, we sing this blessing, which is right up there. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, she'asa nisim. Here, I'm going to try my laser pointer out. Check it. She'asa nisim. Remember, Hebrew goes right to left. She'asa nisim la'avoteinu bayamim hahem bazman hazeh. We are grateful to you, Creator of the universe, Holy One of Being, who made nisim, who made miracles, la'avoteinu, and I would add ve'imoteinu, to our forefathers and our foremothers, bayamim hahem, back in their day, bazman hazeh, and to the Holy One who still makes miracles right now. Right now. Every night we sing that. It's a blessing as a reminder not only to summon the miracles from days of old, but also to be mindful of miracles percolating in our midst right here, right now. So on the second night of Hanukkah, 14 years ago, my sweet father, Marvin, died. There he is. What's up, Marv? I cannot believe he's up there. He would not believe he's up there. He was a towering mensch and the most righteous person I think I've ever known. He would be beaming with pride if he were with us in this room this morning. His wife, my mom, is here. Four of his six grandchildren are here. Plus, his boy happens to be the rabbi at Glide. An organization that he would admire with the entirety of his being. When we were graveside at my dad's funeral, our family rabbi likened my dad to a shamash. For he brought light into so many people's lives. I can think of no better way to summon Marv's sweet and righteous memory than to share with you this following story. So the last time I preached here at Glide, I told a story about a covenant that we formed in Marin between my congregation and the Venetia Valley Public School across the street. I promise I will not give that same sermon again. Promise. For those of you who were not here, a brief synopsis. There's this public school across the street from my congregation of 1,100 families. We did not know one another at all until someone called in a bomb threat to the school across the street about 6 or 7 years ago. And I woke this rabbi up, and I went across with a big bag of Hershey Kisses, and I said, "Hey, I'm Michael, I'm the rabbi across the street. We should get to know one another." I met Juan Rodriguez, who's with us this morning, and over the coming years, our respective communities would care for one another on the deepest, most righteous, and loving levels I know. That Rosh Hashanah, Juan came to speak before my sermon in front of 2,000 people, and he told us powerful and painful stories about families in his community, including the story of one third grade girl who would go to bed every night with a backpack on. She would sleep with her backpack on every night because months earlier her father had been picked up by ICE agents, by Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents, and she was worried and wanted to be ready to go if they came for her mom. In the ensuing years, we built a mighty and enduring covenant between our two communities. Hundreds of people crossed the street in every direction. We learned how to show up for one another. We learned how to be allies. We learned how to love one another. I got two examples for you this morning. So Sukkot is this holiday that commemorates the Israelites wandering through the desert after our exodus from Egypt, from slavery in Egypt. During Sukkot, Jews live in these temporary, rickety huts that we call Sukkot. We sleep in the sukkahs. Even this non-outdoorsman rabbi sleeps in the sukkah. We eat in our sukkah. In fact, right here's a picture of my mom sleeping in our sukkah. Sorry, Mom, don't kill me. Don't kill me. Don't kill me. So in Marin, we pulled together families from Venetia Valley and the synagogue, and we sat in our congregation's sukkah, and we shared a meal. And everyone told their own family's immigration story. And we asked four questions of people. Where did your family come from? Why did they leave their home? How hard was it to get here? And how hard was it once they got here? It was so powerful. So I told a story about my father's parents, my grandparents. You see Marv up there in the corner, my grandpa Nate, my grandma Jeanette, born in Eastern Europe, who fled over 100 years ago, fled anti-Semitism and rampant violence. Most of the Jews in the circle were third-generation Americans. The families from Venetia Valley, primarily first-generation Americans, told stories in Spanish about fleeing poverty and violence from drug gangs. A week later, we did this mashup of Dia de los Muertos, the Mexican holiday that summons the memories of deceased loved ones. Go see the movie Coco. We should all see it together. Right? Right? And Yisker, a mashup of Dia de los Muertos and Yisker, a Jewish service that does the same thing where we remember the memories of our loved ones. The same families that showed up at the synagogue during Sukkot came with a photograph of a deceased loved one, a story about them, and one of their favorite culinary delicacies. We shared food and we shared stories. We had many cries together. Needless to say, it was a hugely powerful and emotional morning. One amazing family was who was with us both in the sukkah and for Dia de los Muertos were the Mejias. Here you see the father Hugo and his wife Yadira on Dia de los Muertos. They were there that day with their three kids, Ramses, Myrna, and Angel. That morning, I learned that the Mejias were an anchor family at Venetia Valley and had been in the U.S. since 2001. In the coming months, Hugo and his family would come over to Road of Shalom to volunteer in the winter shelter. They came to feed where we fed and housed homeless men every Wednesday in Marin. And members of Road of Shalom would see his kids at Venetia Valley when they went across the street. My friend Rabbi Lori Phillips, who's an awesome rabbi in New York, and I promise you when she comes here, she'll like do backflips down the middle aisle because she'll love Glide so much, describes a person like Hugo. She says, Hugo, he is such a neshama. He would say he's such a neshama, which is, in the Hebrew, it's kind of weird because neshama means both a soul and a breath, right? And she used to just say like, I love that person. Hugo, such a neshama, right? Such a beautiful soul, such a kind nature, he draws people in. So on May 3rd of this year, 2 months before I left Road of Shalom and started here at Glide, Hugo and his friend Rodrigo showed up for a new job at Travis Air Force Base, there to help build the new hospital, there, up there. And at the gates, they asked him for ID and a social security number, which he didn't have. And an officer called up Immigration and Customs agents, and they took Hugo away. This neshama, this tax-paying, devoted, community-building mensch, righteous and loving member of our community, found himself in handcuffs, shackled at his waist at an ICE office in Sacramento. They saw that he had been issued a deportation order in 2001 and told him he would be deported immediately. That Hugo right up there. Hugo asked about attaining a bond or having a hearing with a judge, and he was simply told deportations take place on Tuesdays and Thursdays. It was a Wednesday. Hugo sat there, powerless in his cell, crying, frightened that he would be separated from his wife and three children. I cannot even imagine. He was terrified of being deported back to the small town in Mexico where the dangerous drug cartels run rampant. In 3 hours, Hugo's life and his family's life was turned completely upside down. He was transferred to a prison in Elk Grove near Sacramento. Hugo called Yadira nightly in tears. Hours turned to days. Days turned to weeks, and weeks turned to months. My brother Juan Rodriguez, the principal at Venetia Valley School, where all of Hugo's kids went, shared with me some of the notes and stories he'd heard about Hugo. He learned that in jail, there's a social hierarchy, and undocumented people are near the bottom. He said that the correction officers were aware that U.S. citizen inmates were spitting in his food, and they did nothing about it. He said that his cell, cement cell, was super cold at night. He said that the immigration officers would come every few weeks, and Hugo would ask them to try to help out. And they would just mock Hugo, and they said, "I'm not here to help you. I'm here to deport you." Hugo said that his days turned to months, that he felt less and less human. Meanwhile, outside, a righteous and compassionate and beloved, fierce community rose up around Hugo and his family, many of them who are here today. Hundreds wrote letters to Hugo and his family. They organized rallies outside of ICE offices in San Francisco and outside an ICE detention center, doing all we could to draw attention to Hugo's case. Money was raised for his family and his legal case. Hundreds of people put in thousands of hours and raised thousands of dollars to help bring some light and justice to this immeasurably dark and evil story. And then, a few weeks ago, this happened.
He's a free man for now. Hugo Mejia of San Rafael walked out the gates of this federal immigration facility around 8 o'clock this evening and into the arms of his family. His wife and children are now embracing Hugo for the first time in 6 months.
My kids, they always jump in my neck and hug me and kiss me. And I miss that a lot.
Hugo's friends and family paid his bond earlier today after a federal judge ordered him released from immigration detention just in time for Thanksgiving.
I'm happy because I want to see my family again. It's the most important thing in this moment.
Federal immigration authorities arrested Hugo and a friend, both undocumented immigrants, in May after they tried to work a construction job on Travis Air Force Base. Hugo has spent the last 6 months in the federal holding facility in Oak Grove. The Air Force guard checked his ID, which led to a background check with ICE. Hugo has no criminal record, but he did have a decade-old deportation order. His friend, Rodrigo Nunez, has since been deported. Neighbors and family members worried the same would happen to him. They've been rallying on behalf of the 37-year-old father of three young children for all these months. This morning, an immigration judge ordered Hugo's release just in time for Thanksgiving.
I have a lot of letters from my son and their friends, and they make me stay strong.
Hugo is now headed home to San Rafael to reunite with the rest of his family and friends. He says foremost on his mind is heading to church to pray. Long term, he says he wants to be able to go back to work, to stay in the country where he has lived for 17 years.
Look me, I am a hard worker. Do you think I am a criminal? You see my face, you see my record. I'm not a criminal. I just deserve an opportunity to stay here.
He's back with his family and out on bond, but his court battle is by no means over. His legal team will continue to fight his deportation proceedings. In Elk Grove, on the Night Beat, I'm Joe Vasquez.
Why do I cry every time I see that video? Because seeing Hugo reunited with his family seems so right on such a primal level. I mean, really, I think it gave me a glimpse of heaven, of injustice turning to justice, of hate turning to love, of fear turning into hope. Delivered a sliver of light and a tiny measure of hope in these very dark and depressing times. And I suspect on subconscious level, it makes me think about my dad and his parents and their story. Hugo wanted to go to church, and here he is with his family. Hugo, I want to invite you and anyone from your family who feels comfortable, come join me up here on the stage. Anyone who feels... Stay seated if you want, whatever, you got to feel comfortable.
I know you guys were looking for the man of the hour, which is my dad.
I can't.
But he's feeling a little emotional right now, so if you'll let me, I'll read his speech for him. So for now, just imagine that when I say I, imagine that I'm my dad talking, and it'll help a lot.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. Good morning, everyone. I appreciate your warm reception. I was incarcerated for 203 days. My faith, the support of my family, and the support of my community, including Rabbi Lazek, kept me strong. But my relationship with Rabbi Lazek did not begin because I needed help. It began 4 years ago when he reached out to me and wanted to know my name. He saw that my children went to the school across the street from his temple and invited us inside. During Sukkot, did I say that right? Okay. We shared each other's immigration stories. This was something personal, something that had been repressed, something that people do not often ask or talk about. These stories are full of adversity, courage, and peril. They remind us what we have overcome, our objectives, and how our love manifests in sacrifice. When I was seized by ICE, my world did come crashing down, and that of my family. Attorneys said I had absolutely no case and no hope. And then a miracle happened. People like you I had come in contact with, built a community with, at my children's school, at the synagogue across the street, in the union I belonged to, and at my own church, joined together in a rally cry. This cry went out to thousands of people. People wrote letters to me for encouragement and to ICE and the Corps on my behalf. Progressive politicians also provided written support and presence. The Archbishop of San Francisco also came forward to provide support and presence. They were all there in court to present a united front at my bond hearing. The prosecuting attorney wanted me to wear an ankle bracelet. But I stand before you, free. And the only reason is because of my community, a community like the one that you have here at Glide. So, so when Rabbi Lasek invited me to come, of course I said yes. From everything I have learned about Glide, I know that we in this room have the power to affect change. We can be change agents. We can stand up and confront what is wrong and break free from the at times overwhelming odds against us. Together, it is amazing what we can do, and I am the living proof. Thank you, and God bless you all.
That was beautiful. That mighty and righteous community of resistance that rose up around the Mejia family, many of you are here today, Jessica, Rebecca, Juan, and Pilar, just stand for a minute. Anchors. The bravery and radical faith and optimism of these amazing people brought us to this point. This is resistance. This is hope. This is diligent, determined, focused, and strategic love manifesting itself in the world. In this year of swirling darkness, you have all shown us how a community can rise up. Secondly, to let you all know that Hugo's fight is not over. His case is midair. It rests in the Ninth Circuit Court. His lawyers filed for a permanent stay, which was denied. He's out on bond, and there is a chance that his release on bond could stay permanent. And there's a chance that he could be deported within 24 hours. We're waiting to hear the status of the case, which literally hangs in the balance. There is an important role all of us here can play. Jessica Marker, please just stand for a minute. She's going to stand right up here against the stage. If you want to be on an email action list, please find her here up against the stage or down in Freedom Hall when we're done. There's going to be a rally at Venetia Valley School next Friday. Hugo's going to speak, a celebration at 4:30 p.m. if you want to fight traffic on the 101 going up north. I'll tell you a good place to eat if you need. Okay? I want to bring you guys in close. There's a blessing from the book of Numbers that I say here. Firstly, in Hebrew, when we welcome someone, the words are bruchim habaim, which means literally your arrival here is a blessing. And to see each of your faces and to feel the warmth of your body and to know that your souls and spirit are home here at Glide. I just say on behalf of this Glide community, welcome home. Welcome home. Welcome home. And I offer you this blessing on behalf of the amazing congregation Road of Shalom and the Jews of San Francisco and everyone in this room and your new found Glide home community right here in San Francisco. Yevarechecha Adonai v'yashmerecha. May God bless you and really keep you safe and close and together. May God's light continue to shine inside of each of your gorgeous souls, and may you light up every room that you walk in. And may God's face rise up to meet you wherever you go, encircle you and protect you, and may each of you know a sense of shalom, of peace and wholeness and togetherness wherever you walk. And together we all say, Amen. Amen. Stay with me one more. And I just want to say to you that I want you to know that this holy, holy place of right that you're standing in right now, that you are loved and that you are always, 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 always welcome here. Always. Always welcome. I'll let you, I won't embarrass you anymore. You can go sit.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'll see you in a few minutes.
Thank you.
So I'm gonna close by saying that on Tuesday night, Jews around the world will light their Chanukiahs. And the rabbis taught us to put our Chanukiahs in the window, in our windows, to remind ourselves and the world that we all have the capacity to be shamashes. We all have the capacity to bring light from in here out into here, and light from in here out there. And when we pool our resources and our focus, all of our might and energy, we have the power, even in these times, to make miracles happen.
So we are called. We are called to be the light of the world. And I think Ugo's message provides that great invitation to us that we are to be support and presence for one another, because we are called to be agents of change. So if the Spirit is moving, is prompting you to join with our community here at Glide, there is someone to greet you at room 201. Because we are the light of the world. And as we close, we invite you to join hands with your neighbor as we light and ignite in our hearts and our souls a vision, a dream, a calling that we shall overcome, not tomorrow, but today. Amen. Amen.
We shall overcome. We shall.
If you want to be part of the efforts to support Ugo's continued freedom, come and sign up right down front. Hug your neighbor. Go in peace.